My name is Kai, and I'm a co-founder of Swoop Analytics. And today I'm going to have the pleasure of talking about analytics and hopefully give you some insights to some few things that you can do. I want to give you a little bit of background about who we are. So it's me on the left and three of my other co-founders there as well, Marianne, Marcus, and Laurie the Greyhead. Laurie, he's our chief scientist. That's the reason for the gray hair that you see. Very clever man. We're very proud in 2015 and 2016, given that we're only 2 years old, we were picked up by Gartner in their research report, market report into social network analysis tools as one of approximately, I think, 8 or 10 vendors in this space. And we've been actually been going since for the last 10 years, analyzing social networks through consulting projects around the world, and we've taken all that, and that's what I guess our experience is around analyzing social networks. So what's really interesting, I find, that's happening in our organizations today, and you've heard this throughout many sessions, so I'm not going to dwell too much on this, is that we're moving into a world that's very much about collaboration, connectivity, coordination of work between employees. I often ask people, how much can you actually do on your own, in your own team, without coordinating or interacting with people in other teams? And most of the time, people are saying, well, actually, there's not much I can do just my own team. We're required to interact and collaborate and coordinate with other teams. And one of the reasons for that is not only are all our organizations getting more complex and intertwined, but our clients, the way that their whole systems operate is the same. And for us to deliver services and products to our clients, it requires many more people to collaborate than say it required in the past. The problem is that our mindset hasn't really moved truly yet. We're stuck in this old paradigm that I can best explain through this little example. So up here you see three words, and this is the first of the audience participation activities that I've got planned for today. So I'd like you to pick the odd one out. All right? Now, if you are like 80 or 90% of people that have a Western way of thinking about things, you would have picked grass as the odd one out. How many of you said the grass is the odd one out? Hands up. Oh, it's not exactly 80%, but there's at least half of you who said the grass is the odd one out. And we think in terms of taxonomies, grouping some similar things, and that's a very, very normal way of thinking. Other people, though, that have a more of an Asian mindset, they would have picked the chicken as being the odd one out. Yes! Excellent. Because the cow has a relationship with the grass. It eats the grass, right? So this is a very different way of thinking, right? And this different way of thinking actually applies, that's the kind of mindset we need to think about how things are connected rather than just counting things. Now, when we take this kind of mindset, and let's have a look at how this plays out within our organizations. So here you'll see, first of all, on the left-hand side, we're seeing an org chart. And then we're seeing a social relationship map over on the right-hand side. Now, lines on an org chart, they often represent, or not often, they always represent some sort of a chain of command, right? It's a reporting line. But the lines on the social network map has got nothing to do with reporting. It has to do with interactions, people that we draw on to get work done. The man you're seeing over on the right-hand side is Professor Ron Burt at University of Chicago, and he's written a book called Introduction to Social Capital. It's a bit of a dense read. It's not one of those airport books, so don't read it on the way home. But if you've got time and want to read more about this, he is one of the experts, the world experts in this field. He has a very funny comment that goes with these two charts. One is he's saying that if you follow the lines of the org chart, you do that if you want to lay blame. Now, on the other side, he's saying, if you want to get stuff done, then you follow the lines on the other side of the chart. Now, I want to give you an example of how this plays out, because we see that this kind of this conflict of mind, mindsets and this often difficulty for people to think about hierarchy networks. So I'm going to give you an example of how that plays out. Have you ever watched Mythbusters? Any of you? Hands up. All right, so you've seen that show. Now, here's an example of an experiment that they ran. They wanted to see how many cars you can get through a four-way intersection in 15 minutes. Do you know the rules for a four-way intersection? You come up, right, and you halt. Does it matter if there are any other cars? Nope, really? That's a process. We stop, we look, and then we cross if it's safe. Now, I'll set the benchmark for you. There were 385 cars you can get through in 15 minutes when you do that. Now, the Mythbusters said, listen, there are other ways we can organize ourselves, right? What if we put a policeman in the middle and we'll get the policeman to direct the traffic? How many cars do you think we can get through now? More or less? Thumbs up if you think you can get more cars through, thumbs down if you can get fewer cars through. So it's about half and mostly thumb down. So 289 cars. So much for top-down management. So actually putting a policeman in the middle, which is the equivalent of putting a manager in the middle and saying, yes, I will orchestrate collaboration, it's not very efficient, is it? Now, there is a third way that we can organize ourselves in traffic, and that's through a roundabout. So, of course, the question now, when you have a roundabout, how many cars do you think we can now get through in 15 minutes? Do you think we can get more, thumb up, or less, thumb down? Have you seen this before? It's 460 cars you can get through the roundabout. So the roundabout is a much more efficient way of getting traffic through. And there are many parallels here to how our organization works. Think about the roundabout. There are very few really, there aren't many rules. It's a very simple rule. You get to the roundabout, and the decision making is with you, the individual, at right at the front line where the decision really matters. You make that decision just in the right time. And that gives you speed and acceleration. In many organizations, though, we see the policeman as governing. You have to go back and ask for permission. So if you think about the organizations as networks, you have this roundabout thinking in terms of leadership styles. So it really comes back to the individual. And the reason why I'm giving this as a starter to talk about analytics, it is a really important concept to think about relationships and networks, and that we need to apply the same kind of thinking when we look at our analytics. Now, we've developed five different personas that we use to help people understand their own style, the way that they interact with other people on Yammer. And I want you to have to think about, I'm not going to give you any more explanation what they are. There's an observer, a broadcaster, a responder, catalyst, and engager. But towards the end of this session here, I'm going to run a little quiz with you, and we're going to see whether you can detect which one you really are yourself. So just have a think about that as we go through the next little while. One of my good friends and collaborators, Simon Terry, who's sitting right here in front of me, ran a session the other day about 30 things not to do when you implement Yammer. And one of the things from memory, Simon said, was the last thing you do is to implement Yammer. And what Simon really meant by that was you have to figure out the business strategy first and then do Yammer. Now, I've got an addition to that. I'm going to say analytics is the last thing you do. Because unless you have your company strategy first and think about what is it actually that you're doing, then think about what is it actually that Yammer is going to do to help you solve those problems. Not until then can you really think about what sort of how we're going to measure this. So we're going to play a little, very quick, another participation exercise here to see how good we are as a group in making strategy in real time. What I'm going to ask you to do is all to stand up. And then I want you to close your eyes without hurting anyone, point to north as you believe where north is right now. But close your eyes and point to north. Don't hurt anyone in the process. Once you're pointed, are you sure you're pointed? Well, sort of, you think you're pointing in the right direction. Now keep on pointing and open your eyes and look around. I think it's fair to say that no one is pointing really, and there's no common agreement about where we're heading. Is that right? Now you can sit down again. This is the problem. Which way north? It's actually this way. This way is north. This way. This way is north, right where I'm facing. Isn't it interesting? We all know what north is. We understand what the word means. And oftentimes we see that people understand we have to be a customer-centric culture, or we have to do this and we have to do that. But people's interpretation of what that actually looks like can be dramatically different. And that's also why, unless you've sorted out the strategy first, find out exactly where you're going to be using Yammer, it makes very, very little sense to talk about analytics. Analytics actually operate more like a GPS that you have in your cars. If you want to go somewhere from the East Coast to the West Coast, you've decided that you want to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. The GPS will help you get there. But you don't go into the GPS and say, where should I be going today? The GPS is not going to give you the answer. You need to tell the GPS where you want to go, and then it'll guide you. And analytics work in a very, very similar fashion. You have to tell it where to go. How many of you guys went to Pavan's Yammer roadmap session earlier this week? Hands up. All right, so there's a few of you. He showed a very interesting slide. He showed this difference between two different ways in which you can use Yammer. The one over on the left-hand side, where it's about social outlets for status and photos, to connecting around social interests, yam jams, top-down broadcasts, posting to all company, and then these sort of vanity metric and social badges. It's all about driving employee morale. Then he said, there's another way you can use Yammer to transform the business. And that's about replacing existing processes and tools to connect around common objectives, having meaningful two-way collaboration, using groups and so forth, measuring for business outcome. You can see there's a clear difference between the use that's over on the left-hand side and then the one that's on the right-hand side, which is actually probably going to be much more valuable. Someone in the audience said, arguably correctly, should it be an or in the middle or should it really be an and? Now, we can argue that point. That might be correct. But there are two different ways. When it comes to the analytics then, once we've found out what our business strategy is, how we're going to be using Yammer, which sort of parts of this, where we're going to be using it mostly for broadcasting and those sort of things, are we going to really use it to transform our business? The analytics need to follow that. And there are different types of analytics that you need to know about. So I split them into two groups. One of them, which many organizations start with, are around sort of hygiene or health. And I've just given a few examples here. So you might have a look at the number of users that are on the network. You might have a look at the number of groups. You might want to have a look at how many is active versus inactive. The volume of traffic that's happening are good indicators. And then whether it's used for business or for non-business. We were working with the largest telco in Australia, where I'm based, Telstra. And we did the last one was a very simple thing to do, actually. We just went in and looked at all the groups, and then we classified them just one by one. Is this a group that's used for business or one that's used for social? It was very easy to do a count of that. You will also find that on the Yammer Analytics dashboard, you'll find some of these metrics about number of users and so forth, and with new admin reports that are from the admin panel, you'll start to be able to get insights into number of groups and those sort of things. If you want to tie Yammer, though, closer to business strategy, there are other things you also have to look at. And I've given some examples that I'm going to go into in a little bit more detail in this session here today. Cross-organizational collaboration is one of those that I'll dive into. Many organizations that we talk to have that as a primary business driver. Yammer is a tool that is going to connect people so they can collaborate across business boundaries. You saw from Pavan's slide, over on the right-hand side, he had this about having meaningful two-way conversations. There's a big difference if I just put something out as a notice and then don't get any kind of replies or don't get any sort of likes, and then starting a conversation. And I'm going to show you some examples of what that looks like. There's also a point that links back to strategy, which is about transparency. You might have heard about working out loud and about making sure that everyone knows and you publish work in progress. Well, if everyone operates in private groups, have we achieved that company objective of allowing us to connect and collaborate if no one can see what we're doing? And the last thing from the individual perspective, it's about changing our own behaviors, is to have more understanding about how we operate as individuals. And I'll be, as I said, we're going to be running a little test or a little quiz with you towards the end of the session. So as I mentioned, one of the goals for many organizations is to understand cross-organizational collaboration. And these are the three typical areas that we hear people talking about. It's working across business unit boundaries. So you can have, what about our engineering team? And I'll use that example because that's something that's painfully close to my own heart. But we're using Swoop as well. We're using Yammer and Swoop to organize ourselves. And we have an engineering team and we have a customer success team. And those are two teams that ideally should be collaborating. But I looked at our numbers yesterday and I can see that there's still not enough collaboration happening between those two groups. And the risk you might run is that we have an engineering team that's out building things, yet there's no connectivity with those that actually have the customer contact. And think about your own organizations. What are those key groupings of people that might be customer focused? Do they actually have interactions with those that are either delivering services or developing products for you? The other thing, working across geographic boundaries. Many large organizations have people all over the world. And we can end up working in silos. North America might be doing things differently to Europe. The French might be doing it different to the British. And the Australians might be off doing their own thing entirely. And if you want to have a consistent way of doing things, you need to have a look at to what extent are we sharing experiences across those geographies. And the same goes with functional boundaries. Are the legal people actually talking to the people in finance, and so forth? So those are the key areas that we could often see that when people are wanting to roll out Yammer in support of changing or transforming the business is to fuse and rewire the business for success. I'm going to give you an example of this. One of our good friends, Dean, he's with KFC, the fast food chain. And they started on the Yammer journey a number of years ago. And the key thing that they wanted to achieve was to enable all staff out in the restaurants to connect and collaborate with each other. I believe from memory that they had an external Facebook group and the company wasn't completely happy with that. So an external Yammer network was a solution to get people into a more regulated environment, but allow them to connect and collaborate in all the stores. And they're doing that. The other objective that they had was to make the senior management team more visible. It's actually quite hard when you're a senior manager, in this case, the managing director for KFC in Australia, to reach out to people when you haven't got a platform such as Yammer. So that was one of the goals. How can we connect staff? How can we motivate? How can we reward them better? So how can we then measure whether or not that's actually happening? So when you look at this, again, looking at whether or not we are connecting across the organizational boundaries, I'm showing you here a matrix that's aggregated all of the interactions on Yammer. And what you may be able to see, even though the font is a little bit small, is all the way down the columns and along the rows, we have various KFC restaurants. You can also probably see a very clear pattern, a diagonal pattern. And that's telling us that today, most of the interactions are happening within each restaurant. And that's not a surprise. The first step on the journey was to connect people within the restaurant, get employees to share ideas, not so much shares, but coordinate rosters and schedules. So it's actually being used for that. That's really good. Now, if you look at this, if we move this away from a matrix way of thinking about it, and then look at this from a network perspective, you might remember that when I showed the thing with Ron Bird about, you know, the hierarchy in the network. This is a network representation of the same data. And you can see that there's a big circle, not a big circle, there's a circle right in the middle, and that is the regional head office. That's where the managing director sits, plus the regional managers. And you can actually see how much they interact directly out to the restaurants. And what the senior leadership team do, they actually go on road shows. They go out in the restaurants and visit them, and they take photos of staff, they upload them to Yammer, and they celebrate those successes. And they do that very regularly, and you can see, clearly see, that that has actually worked. There's a lot of interaction happening between the head office and out to the restaurants. What not so much is happening, which you saw with that diagonal, is that the restaurants today are only interacting in a quite limited way. And you may then consider, are there opportunities for the restaurants, for staff, to connect more directly at that level and share ideas and experiences about how they run the restaurants? So one thing is how we connect around geographies. The other one that Yammer is often being used as a tool to, the other goal that Yammer is being used to achieve, is to see whether or not we can connect the top part of the organization with the lower levels of the organization. Many organizations, I'm not sure whether you can recognize this from yourself, are very hierarchical. So if I have to get anything done, I go to my boss, and my boss goes to their boss, and I guess we all have bosses at some level. So it can become very, very, take a long time to traverse that hierarchy. So what KFC did, they said, we would like to see to what extent people are actually using Yammer to collaborate across the hierarchy. Now they have a number of different role titles, and for today we're just going to be focusing on three of those. The regional manager, then the assistant manager, and then team members. And if you go straight to the network map on the right-hand side, you can see that's where the three most bold lines are. So what's quite amazing, what they've achieved with Yammer, they have broken down that hierarchical reporting lines. And you can see the regional managers are talking directly to the team members. This is something they hadn't been able to achieve before. So again, we're trying to connect the analytics with the business strategy. What is we trying to achieve? We want to have a connected workforce. We want to use this for people to coordinate their rosters within the restaurants, and we would like for head office to be more connected with the stores. Is that happening? Big tick, it's actually happening. The other thing I wanted to talk about was this difference that was on Pavan's slide yesterday, or in the roadmap session, about having meaningful two-way conversations versus just using Yammer for broadcasting. Traditionally, internal comms, are there anyone here from internal comms before I'm too harsh on them? Hands up if you're for internal comms. No, there's a few people. So I beg for forgiveness already now. But I think you would probably agree with me that the way that internal comms normally think about communication, it is up here, down to you, right? Open your mouth, I'm gonna chuck it in, and then swallow, please. It's about getting content from me to you, and there's not really a lot of interaction happening. However, Yammer is not that sort of tool, is it? Yammer is an enterprise social tool. It's about having two-way conversations. It's not about telling, it's about talking. It's not about broadcasting, it's about engagement. Now, therefore, it becomes very important for us to keep in mind, what is that relationship between how much activity do we have, and is this a broadcasting, a telling network, or is it a talking network? So, if I show you this little magic quadrant, which is not so magical at all, on the y-axis you have activity that can either go from there's a lot happening on our Yammer network to there's not a lot happening on our Yammer network. And then it could go from we having lots of these two-way interactions to we don't have really any at all. Now, if there's not a lot of activity happening on your network, and there's not a lot of two-way interaction happening, it's not really a community. If you have a lot of activity, but very little of that two-way interaction, you have this broadcasting tele network. And link that back to your strategy. Was that what we wanted to achieve with Yammer? Was it another tool in the arsenal that the internal comms have got available to push out information? or was it meant to be a place where everyone could engage with each other? So it becomes quite important to understand both the level of two-way interactions that we have and the level of activity that we have, right? If we only had activity, we wouldn't be able to tell whether or not it's a talking or telling network. And if we didn't have anything about activity, we wouldn't really know whether anything was happening. Wouldn't it be nice if these two things were actually correlated? So the more two-way interactions, the more activity, or the more activity, the more of these two-way interactions. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We've done what we believe is the world's largest Yammer benchmarking study, and we looked at lots and lots and lots and lots of groups. And on the chart, what I'm showing you here is this relationship between how much of these two-way interactions do we have, and is there any correlation with the activity? And there's not. You can easily have groups where there's an even high levels of activity, so there's lots of posting going on, but there's very little two-way relationships happening. So it's a telling, it's a broadcasting network. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong, that that's happening. There are some organizations that get a lot of value from being able to push out content. But if you think about Palm and Slide, you know, there's a difference between using it for communication and broadcasting and then a real business transformation. I want to give you a little example of a large financial services organization in Australia. They're called Westpac, and it's one of the top tier banks. They've got 35,000 people on Yammer, so it's a fairly large network. And to achieve their strategy, using Yammer and having people engage on the platform with each other was a core component of that. Their CEO is a marvelous user of Yammer and proponent of Yammer as well. So they've been very interested all the way up to the CEO and the senior leadership team to keep an eye on what's happening on Yammer, to see whether or not their business strategy is working and whether or not Yammer is supporting that. Because if we're not seeing any engagement on Yammer, we're not gonna, it's the only tool they have available to really engage people across the organization. The other thing is that many of the senior leaders all have internal comms experts to help them in the efforts to engage staff. And for them to have insights and analytics that's telling whether each executive is actually talking or telling on Yammer, whether the community that they're supporting are talking or telling networks, become very, very important for them to see whether or not they're delivering on their strategy. Now, this is all about enterprise at the enterprise level. So let's dive into at the individual level. So this is about personal analytics. Now, I heard this quote from someone who told me that the only people who like change are babies with a wet diaper. I've seen a cartoon that I can't share it with you because I'm not exactly sure where I find it, but maybe it did the rounds on LinkedIn some months ago. But there's this person that's standing up at a podium just like I'm standing up here at a big rally, and I'm asking, so, who likes change? Everyone goes, who? Yeah, absolutely. They're asking, who wants to change? And then everyone is being very silent. So we can all see the benefit of this thing about working out loud. We can see the benefits of working in networks and getting things done. It all sounds really great. But when I have to do it, it suddenly becomes quite hard. So you have to think about that as well. When you think about what your job is, what is it you need to do in your organization, and how do you need to interact on Yammer to support that strategy? So remember I was asking about the personas? We had five of those. We're going to be diving into those in a little bit more detail now, because I'd like you to think about, in the job that you do, what sort of persona would it make sense for you to be like to best perform your job? And then also, if you're not that at the moment, what do you need to do to change? Now, I want to show you a couple of examples here. And again, I'm going to show you an example of a very, very solid enterprise social collaborator. I'm picking on my wonderful friend Simon Terry again. Here's an example of a post that he made earlier this year And here's a link to his blog post. Can you count the number of likes and replies that Simon got for that? What sort of, this is more like broadcasting, right? I've done that myself, and I'm going to tell you a story about how embarrassingly poorly I did this. However, Simon is not just a broadcaster. Simon knows that sometimes there's a place for putting out content, and sometimes there's a case for starting a discussion. So Simon also does this. He asks out in a Yammer group, what is your big plan for 2016? What goals are getting you excited about in the new year? Let's try working out loud and our goals to make them happen. And can you see how he draws people into the conversation by mentioning them in the post? And look at the number of replies. 33 replies to that. It's the same person doing two different kinds of posts with two different objectives and getting two very different results. So that's what I mean about you have to reflect and think about what sort of persona would you like to be? What makes sense? And you can sort of go and change from being one or the other, but when you look over a period of time, there should be one dominant persona that comes out. So these were the fives we had up here. So now I'd like you to, if you have pen and paper, otherwise you sort of have to memorize this, but get out pen and paper or your phone, something where you can scribble a little bit if you want to play along. So here's the quiz. There are 10 boxes here. And if you are doing this on a piece of paper, just draw a 3x4 table. If you're the one that like to post link or attach interesting content that I think people want to know about, think about, yes, that's me. If you're more like, I post updates to my colleagues about things they need to know about, that's one for you to choose as well. I call out colleagues for a job well done. Is that like you? I ask for help with problems and challenges. Is that like you? What about replying to requests for input and assistance where I can add value? Is that like you? What about prompting people to participate, just like you saw Simon was doing? What are your goals for 2016? And then at mentioning people. Do you hit like whenever you see a post or reply, or you want to show support for something that you read? Is that something you do, a lot or little? And what about your posts? Do they actually get replies, and do they get likes? You saw even with Simon, there's a huge difference. Some of the posts got nothing, and some of them got lots. And are you being encouraged by others to provide input? So Simon was CCing me, he was at mentioning me in that post, encouraging me to participate. Does that happen to you? Or are you actually one of those recalcitrant, antisocial people that read, but you don't participate at all? Now, let's have a look at the first persona, the observer. That's a pretty simple one, right? That's the only one you went, yes, that's me. That's me. If you are like that, again, think about whether or not that makes sense in the context of what your company is trying to achieve, how Yammer is going to be used to help the company achieve that, and whether or not you need to change and get out of that mindset of being an observer. Next one, if you're a broadcaster, you hit those four at the top. It's all about you pushing things out, isn't it? I post, I call out job, I ask for people, but it's all about getting things out. A responder, they wait. They wait until they're asked. They don't take the first step. It's a big pool, there's a lot of sharks down there, and I'm just gonna hold back. And if there's something that I feel comfortable, then I'll do. I'll either like something, or I will add value if I can see something that makes sense to add value. Then you're a responder. Is that what would best serve what your role is? Do you need to be something else? Now, if you're someone who's saying, yep, I put out a few bits and pieces, and my posts, they always get replies and likes. Think about Simon's second post. If that was all Simon was doing, a few posts, 33 replies. You know, lots of stuff happening as a return. And are you often being encouraged by other people? So I hope you can now start to see there's actually a flow happening here. It's not just about what I am doing. It's what people give back to me in return. So it's a two-way, and it takes two to collaborate, as you know. So it's about giving and it's about receiving. So a catalyst is someone that receives basically a lot more than what they provide. And so Simon's post is a typical catalyst post. What are your plans for the next year? Then we have an engager, and they're what we consider to be the most aspirational and the best profile you can end up with. And I hope lots of you in the room today said yes to all those boxes that we went along, apart from the last one. So engagers have this amazing, and it's quite a difficult thing to achieve in the long term. They have this amazing balance between starting conversation, responding to conversation, and then people getting back to them. So this is all about personal analytics, and I'm going to share with you quite a painful story. Because given that we know this in a great depth, it was sort of embarrassing for me to find out when we started on this journey in Swoop. And you can see it over on the left-hand side. I was a broadcaster. And it's something that we say to most people, especially if you are on the senior leadership team, you should not really be a broadcaster. But I did the thing that most people, I think, do. It's not uncommon when you start our Yammer journey. I would go off and I would find interesting articles from MIT, Sloan Review, or Harvard Business Review, and I would post them on the Yammer network and say, look, I found this fascinating article. You should have a read of it. And I got very few likes and very few replies. So I did that for a while, and I remember having a conversation with Laurie that you see over to the right. And it was kind of a, you know, heart to heart. And I said, Laurie, this is simply not fair. You know, we're about social analytics. I'm leading the way. I'm doing everything I can to put things up on Yammer. And you guys, what do? You do nothing. You never like my stuff. You never reply to it. It's all your fault. Then Laurie looked at me straight in the eye. And he said, Kai, have you actually thought about what it is that you're posting? Now, that was a moment of painful self-reflection. And it sort of dawned on me that I can't force people to neither reply to what I do or like what I do. Can't force them. I have to write in a way that's much more engaging. So I started on that journey, and it took me probably, 6 months before I got into that habit. And you can see now that not only am I posting a lot more than I've done in the past, and maybe that little bit of saying, hey, come on, participate, you know, like a reply, maybe help a little bit. But I think I've gotten better at actually posting things and asking questions. So instead of saying, here's the link to that Harvard Business Review article, I can say, have you seen this article and how might that apply within our business? Just like Simon was doing with his second post. What are your plans for 2016? It's a very different way of communicating. Now, there's something, we have a sort of a tagline that is, seeing how you work changes how you work. And when senior leaders in particular see that they are broadcasters, we often see that it's because a lot of their comms, and again, apologies to the internal comms people, if you are doing ghostwriting, it's typically not written in a very engaging way, right? Because actually what you don't want is someone to ask questions, because then that's just more work for the internal comms person, and how are they going to answer that? And now we've got a Q&A section and just point people there. And that's not authentic and a real conversation. So that was my painful, painful story. Now, why do we even care about analytics? Why is this so important? Why is it important to have that GPS in our car? Well, the reason is actually quite simple. You have invested in Office 365. Now, I'm not sure anymore what the component that's called Yammer, what that's costed, or how much that is, but it's a part of it. So at least if you don't use it properly, is going to mean that it's costed, you have spent money on the product and you're not getting any value from it. But that's actually the smallest part of it. Many organizations spend much, much more, and I put in 10x, that's the rumors that I've heard, 10 times the effort that it actually costs to implement the thing. So this is the project team, it's the change team, it's the training, it's all the effort that goes into helping people get onto Yammer. But even that, it's a small proportion of the real business value that Yammer can generate for your organization. The real pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is when you transform those business processes, when you've enabled cross-organizational collaboration, when you're solving problems using Yammer. That's a much, much bigger pot of gold. And I don't know exactly what it is. I put in 100x. Who knows what it is? It could be 1,000. It could be much, much more valuable. So what's at stake? Well, if we don't get it right, if we don't chase adoption hard, we're going to be missing out on that. And that's the simple reason why we need analytics. Now, I love this quote. It's from A.C. Nielsen, Arthur C. Nielsen, the founder of the market research company A.C. Nielsen. And he said, the price of light is less than the cost of darkness. The price of light, that's your GPS. You can choose to turn the light off, and you can fumble around in darkness, and we can try and see whether or not we can realize the business value, or we can chase it as hard as we possibly can. That's it for me. Thank you very much. If you've got questions, I'm more than delighted to take questions, and the Yammer team has been so kind to give me a bunch of free things to give away, but only for the really good questions. So if you've got any questions, you can either ask here, but given that we're such a small audience, you can also just come up to me. Yes.
In my network, I find the default that people don't know how not to make a post as a broadcast. They don't know how not to push the information out. They don't know how to engage. How do we make that change from broadcast to engage? I talk about it a lot, but the default is always push it out.
Mm. I'm not going to pretend to have the, you know, the silver bullet answer to that. As being in an analytics role, the best thing you can compare us to are people that are running the CT scanner, right? So we know what's happening. But in every profession, you've got to be something you're an expert in. And we're not experts in coaching, or we're not coach experts in setting social business strategy. And we don't do that at work. We partner with a whole bunch of people that do that. And Simon actually is one of those types of people that do that sort of work and work with leaders. The things, though, that I have heard many times from people is that when they, as I mentioned, when you see how you work and you see the numbers, that prompts a change in mindset, just like it did for me personally. And it's quite, it wasn't pleasant. Like, and we are a small, tight-knit family in Swoop, right? And it was a painful thing to realize that I was doing the wrong thing. And the first knee-jerk reaction, I'm sure it'll be the same for most people, just to blame everyone else, right? But the reality is, when it comes to social, unlike hierarchy, where you can demand your staff to do something for you, in social, you can't demand anything. So you have to reflect on your writing style. Yeah, that's probably the best answer I can give.
One thing that wasn't touched on so much was the temperament and the behavior, whether the social network is positive or negative, or trending in certain directions. I've been with two different social networking products over the past several years. One which was very, very negative. You'd have these broadcasters and then this long string of negative stuff. Now, the one that we're currently on, which is Yammer, is quite positive. How might we figure out what went well in the previous approach versus now, so we ensure that we don't trend in the wrong direction?
I think it comes back to the problem we're trying to solve on Yammer. I've seen organizations where they've been given very little direction, and it can become a whinging place. So I think there are two things in it. First of all, it's around the direction. What are we actually going to use it for? If you have a strong direction on that, that certainly helps. The other component, we, and Simon and I will talk more about in a session tomorrow about how you engage C leaders. I had the fortune of sitting with the CEO of, or ex-CEO of this very large telco in Australia. And he talked about how this thing was just self-governing. There was no need for any policy or rules. When people were out of line, the network self-corrected. Now, that obviously didn't happen in your first situation, and I'm not really sure what analytics in their own right can do to fix that. It can bring it up. They are also analytic solutions that help you understand sentiment. I have got no experience with sentiment analysis, but I do know that there are certain products that can help you see whether the direction is going north or south. But from what you were saying, I think you had a pretty good idea about where it was heading anyway. Yeah, sorry, I probably can't give you a better answer than that.
So this has been very enlightening for me because I wasn't thinking about it in the broadcaster and you know, engager kind of way. But so you know, we've been setting up our Yammer. Essentially, we're responsible for adoption, even though we don't know that much about it yet. We've been advised on, you know, leadership groups and all these other things. Are there any guidance? Is there any guidance that you can give to help lead contributors to be engagers rather than broadcasters? Because I know a lot, so far a lot of the groups that we have helped get started up, which have fairly good engagement, just because it's a leader broadcasting to the team. But a lot of the groups are set up that way, so that it's much more broadcasting, and it probably the ultimate, you know, level of engagement probably is reduced. It's just a bunch of people hitting like to their boss's boss. Just wondering about your thoughts about guidelines so that we can help steer the community to behave as engagers also.
Yep, I'll just go back to this one because I think this is what you're saying sounds like very much like what Pavan was talking about. You were on the left-hand side, right? More so than on the right-hand side. And I think maybe it comes back and says the analytics is the last thing you have to worry about. First of all, you've got to find out why we're doing this. Now, if the objective of your network was simply to replace an email distribution list with somewhere we can go in and push it, and then when you hit like, at least the boss knows whether you read it or not, right? Then it's been successful, right? But if you were wanting to use Yammer as a way to have meaningful two-way conversation, then obviously that isn't working in the scenario that you point out. Now, then it becomes a coaching, a community management leadership initiative on helping that individual leader moving from basically the left-hand side to the right-hand side, and maybe they haven't figured out what are the problems we actually have to solve. There are some people that are operating the policemen. You saw like the difference between the policeman and the roundabout, and I think many senior leaders, and I would like to say that, you know, I've been one of those that like to just say, I've got so many important things to tell you, all you ignorant staff, that I will just broadcast it out and then I feel much better. But it's not the way that you transform your business. It's not the way you have meaningful two-way conversations with staff. So I think it becomes as much a personal transformation journey for that leader to move from the left-hand side to the right-hand side. It's not going to be an easy one, right? Because there's a history and there's a legacy and there's a way that they've been used to operate. So I'm not saying it's there's unfortunately no silver bullet for that. Yes?
I'd like to know if you have any recommendations as to sort of the reporting or analytics tools for sort of measuring the usage and active use in Yammer, because I know the statistics they provide with Yammer are quite lacking, and then we used a tool called Good Data some years back, but I don't think it's working or active. Or are there any better solutions for that available?
Well, the best recommendation I can give is the first thing, what I would always do, is to see what's available for free, right? And that's the Yammer Analytics dashboard. There's also a reporting built into the Office 365 admin panel. And you might have heard in the session that Pavan gave about the roadmap that there's also going to be coming a content pack out for Power BI where you can do things. But it is limited. And if you heard the session from Tigraph with Simon Denton, who is the community leader at Mott MacDonald, was saying, unfortunately, there aren't much you can do other than very, very basic analytics you can do for free. Then you have to go to third-party providers, and I have a vested interest in saying, well, I'm one of those. But there's a couple you can choose between that have got different, you know, different balances, different pros and cons. And if you look at the Yammer App Store, it just happens that we're the featured app here for all of September that coincides with Ignite. So you're welcome to have a look. All right. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. For those of you that ask questions, I did anyone, I've got these wonderful gifts from the Yammer team that you're more than welcome to come up. There's a wonderful t-shirt here, and one is a big one, and there's a smaller one for ladies as well. So come up and see me and get your stuff. Thank you.